Hello and welcome to our online press conference. My name is Tom Pelton, and I'm Director of Communications at the Environmental Integrity Project. We are a nonprofit organization that works as America's environmental watchdog, holding polluters and governments accountable to protect public health and the environment. Today, we are releasing our new report, The Power Behind AI: Wave of Dirty Gas-Fired Power Plants Planned for Data Centers. The report is available on our website at www.environmentalintegrity.org and will be made public at the conclusion of this press conference. We're going to have five speakers today and then open it up to questions from reporters. Our speakers today will be Jen Duggan, Executive Director of the Environmental Integrity Project, then Griffin Bird, author of the report and research analyst at EIP. Next, we'll have Alex Bomstein, Executive Director of Pennsylvania-based Clean Air Council. Then Kendra Seawright, organizer with Texas-based Panhandle First in Amarillo. And finally, our closer, Amy Margolis, director of Tucker United in West Virginia. Reporters, we would love to get your questions. So as you listen to the presentation, please click on the Q&A button on the bottom of your screen and note your name and that you have a question. And then at the end, I'll unmute you and call on you. And also remember to unmute yourself on your own computer when I call on you. So first, Jen Duggan, Executive Director of the Environmental Integrity Project, why don't you start things off?
Thanks, Tom. As many of you know, the rapid growth of the data center industry in recent years has been driven largely by the rise in artificial intelligence, which requires massive amounts of computing power and electricity to operate. The launch of ChatGPT in 2022 ignited an arms race among tech companies and Wall Street investors intent on building more and more data centers to grab an increasing AI market share. This has led them to pour hundreds of billions of dollars into data centers, power plants to supply their electricity, and AI computing chips. Growing data center power demand could exceed 100 gigawatts within a decade. That's about as much electricity as is needed to power two-thirds of all the homes in the US today, or approximately 100 million households. Most of this is just for artificial intelligence. The Trump administration is pushing hard for more data centers, arguing that the US needs to beat China in an AI arms race. President Trump's Department of Justice has threatened to sue states that attempt to regulate data center growth, and Trump's EPA is actively promoting the AI industry instead of cracking down on its pollution. But public opposition to these data centers is rising across the country, in part because data centers can lead to higher electricity prices for consumers, impose significant public health and environmental costs, and they just don't deliver on promises of stable, high-paying jobs. A Gallup poll in March found that 7 in 10 Americans oppose data centers for artificial intelligence. Barely a quarter of Americans favor these projects. Some members of Congress in at least 9 states, along with some cities and towns, are trying to push back by proposing moratoriums on new data centers, or at least a pause until protections for consumers and the environment can be put in place. In the midst of this debate, the Environmental Integrity Project decided to investigate one of the largest sources of pollution from these projects. The power plants, often fueled by dirty natural gas, that are built to generate electricity for these data centers. Specifically, we looked at the gas power plants that are being proposed across the country as dedicated sources of electricity for data centers. These are often called behind-the-meter power plants because they are intended, at least theoretically, to minimize rate increases for local households because they're directly connected to data centers instead of primarily feeding the local power grid, where they would compete with other businesses and households for electricity. Now, as it turns out, this isn't always true because behind-the-meter gas plants consume huge amounts of natural gas, and that raises the price of this fuel for power plants that serve the general public on the electricity grid. But because companies and the Trump administration often tout the benefits of behind-the-meter gas plants, we thought we'd take a look at this small subset of the total number of power plants proposed across the country that would power data centers. The potential public health and environmental impact we found, even from this small slice of the industry, is alarming. Our team of data analysts identified at least 74 dirty gas power plants that are planned across the US as behind-the-meter power sources for the growing data center industry. These proposed gas plants, including 71 new power plants and three expansions of existing plants, are expected to generate 143 gigawatts of electricity. That's enough to power the entire state of California nearly three times over. The plants could also release nearly 662 million tons per year of greenhouse gas pollution, which would have the climate warming impact of 140 million cars and trucks driving for a year. Or another way of looking at it is that these power plants for data centers would create as much climate warming pollution as the entire continent of Australia does every year, or the entire nation of France. Beyond these greenhouse gases, we also found that this wave of power plants for data centers could re release nearly 160,000 tons per year of health-harming air pollutants that could impact nearby communities. This includes more than 44,000 tons of nitrogen oxides that contribute to smog and lung damage, and more than 32,000 tons of fine particulate matter, which can trigger heart and asthma attacks. Data centers and their gas-fired power plants are also thirsty consumers of water, with some demanding millions of gallons of water per day. Despite this problem, about two-thirds of the data centers built or planned in the US over the last 4 years have been located in water-stressed regions. Where exactly are these 74 power plants proposed? Most of them have been proposed in five states. The largest number, 32, are in Texas, 10 are in Ohio, 7 are in Pennsylvania, 4 are in West Virginia, and 4 are in Wyoming. Our report includes profiles of local communities fighting massive data center projects in Tucker County, West Virginia, east of Pittsburgh in Homer City, Pennsylvania, and in Amarillo in West Texas. We have speakers from all three of these locations who will offer their perspectives and the impact on local quality of life in just a few minutes. But broadly across the US, we observe that data centers and their dedicated power plants were often proposed in lower income communities that already have poor health outcomes and premature death. Adding more particulate matter and smog-forming air pollutants from these plants could worsen these existing health disparities. When we studied data about local income and demographics for these power plants, we found that almost 90% of the proposed plants are planned or under construction in counties where the life expectancy is already below the US average. In contrast, only eight plants are planned for counties where life expectancy exceeds the national average. 40% of the people living within 3 miles of the proposed gas plants are in low-income households. And at least 188 schools are located within 3 miles of the proposed data center power plants, putting the health of the children and adolescents in these schools at risk. The solution is simple here. First and most important, local communities should have a say in whether data centers and their power plants are built in their backyards. Although some companies have tried to override or ignore local democracy and secretly ram these projects through, local communities have a right to transparency and public hearings, and officials should listen to and honor that public feedback. Where data centers are built, they should be powered by clean energy, including solar farms and wind turbines, with ample battery storage systems for when weather conditions are poor. They should not be powered with dirty gas or coal, It makes no sense for a technology of the future to be powered by the dirty fossil fuels of the past. Companies should also be required to implement technologies that minimize water use for cooling and power generation, and data centers should not be built in parts of the country struggling with water shortages and drought. And there is no justification for the government at any level to fast-track approvals of these projects or keep negotiations with industry secret. Openness and accountability are necessary to prevent harm to local communities, including the air pollution and excessive water consumption from data centers and their power plants. In some cases, companies try to manipulate or short-circuit the air pollution permit review process to avoid the most stringent air pollution control requirements and deprive communities of their right to participate in public hearings. They do this by trying to build major sources of air pollution without obtaining major source permits as they should. And this needs to stop because under the Federal Clean Air Act, major sources of air pollution are required by law to obtain major source permits. Operate with modern pollution controls and demonstrate that they will not create unhealthy concentrations of pollution. Local communities, by law, are required to have a say in the permit review process for these major sources of air pollution. A thoughtful, open, and deliberative review process should not be rushed or abandoned for the permitting of these data centers or their power plants because of some reckless pursuit of AI supremacy in an artificial intelligence arms race. Americans deserve something more genuinely intelligent than an avalanche of dirty power plants for the data center industry. Back to you, Tom.
Thanks. That was Jen Duggan, Executive Director of the Environmental Integrity Project. Next, we'll have Griffin Bird, author of the report and research analyst at EIP. Go ahead, Griffin.
Thanks so much, Tom. As Tom said, my name is Griffin Bird. I'm a research analyst here at the Environmental Integrity Project. I am the lead author and researcher of this report. It's the product of a nearly years-long research effort by the research team here at EIP and our engineers. I'm going to provide a little background about how we put the report together. The first step in the process was simply assembling a list of behind-the-meter gas power plants across the United States that are proposed. We were unable to find that information elsewhere, so we did the research ourselves. We relied on, to identify those power plants, we relied on permit documents from state environmental agencies. We used databases from partner environmental groups like Global Energy Monitor and Frac Tracker. We relied on industry publications, press releases, and news articles to identify as many behind-the-meter gas power plants as we could. And the step after that was to compile the emissions information for all of these gas power plants that we had identified. To do that, wherever possible, we relied on permit documents, things like permit applications submitted by companies to state environmental agencies requesting air permits for these facilities. Documents prepared by the state agencies themselves, like technical reviews or fact sheets. Wherever it was possible, we relied on these kinds of documents to get potential emissions for these power plants. But this industry is moving so quickly, and there are so many facilities that hadn't applied for Clean Air Act permits yet by the time that we were writing this report that we endeavored to produce potential emission estimates of our own. In concert with the engineers here at the Environmental Integrity Project, we came up with our own methodology for producing emissions estimates for these behind-the-meter gas power plants that hadn't yet applied for air construction permit documents. At the time of writing, when we finalized the data, roughly 36 of the plants had not submitted those documents yet. So, to provide a full and complete picture of the potential air pollution from these facilities, we felt it was necessary to produce those estimates ourselves. We believe that, as astounding as the air pollution estimates included in this report are, that if anything, these are an underestimate. They're conservative. For one thing, this report solely focuses on a subset of gas power plants that would serve data centers behind the meter, meaning they would provide electricity directly to these data centers without routing it through the wider electrical grid first. There are examples across the country of gas power plants that are being built on greenfield sites or expanding existing gas power plants to provide the expected electricity demand for new data centers. In Louisiana, Meta's Hyperion data center in Richland Parish has partnered with the utility company Entergy to expand the plants that they have in Louisiana or build new gas power plants to make sure that the Hyperion campus will have the electricity that it's going to need to operate. Even though it's serving these power plants in front of the meter, this is not, emissions from plants like this are not captured in our report. Additionally, we do not include any emissions in the report from new natural gas infrastructure that would be required to produce and transport the natural gas for these gas power plants. And lastly, the data centers themselves, many will have things that are backup generators or emergency generators to keep the data centers online in the event of a loss of power from an electrical storm or a down unit at the power plant. These backup generators come with emissions profiles of their own that is not completely reflected in our report. For our own estimates, we did not include potential emissions from these emergency generators or backup generators at the data centers. And whenever possible, we separated those emissions units out in the permit documents that we used. All of this taken together, we believe that this, if anything, is a conservative picture of the potential air pollution from these plants. I'd be happy to provide more information on our methodology and how we did this analysis if people have questions afterwards.
Thank you. That was Griffin Bird, a research analyst at EIP. Next, from Pennsylvania, we'll have Alex Baumstein, executive director of the Pennsylvania-based Clean Air Council. Go ahead, Alex.
Thank you so much, Tom. Good afternoon, everybody. As Tom said, my name is Alex Baumstein. I'm executive director at Clean Air Council, which is an environmental and public health advocacy organization that serves Pennsylvania and surrounding regions. In western Pennsylvania, about an hour east of Pittsburgh, lies Indiana County. It's a landscape of small towns, farms, and rolling hills. Outside of the Indiana County town of Homer City is the site of what was a large coal-fired power plant. Today is the third anniversary of its closure. Last year, the smokestacks that towered over the landscape were finally brought down. But since then, a New York private equity firm called Knighthead Capital has financed redevelopment of the site into a combined power plant and hyperscale data center campus at about 4.5 gigawatt scale. The power plant is, of course, designed to serve the data center. Construction has already begun on the project. If fully built, the power plant would be the single largest source of pollution in the whole state of Pennsylvania. The plant's potential to pollute is spelled out in the air quality permit that it received last year, and we know how deadly the kinds of pollution it would emit are. We've actually done the math. For every year the plant operates, it could kill dozens of people from its toxic air pollution and ultimately thousands from its climate pollution. And in addition to the pollution coming out of the plant, the fracked gas needed to run the plant would require drilling around 250 gas wells every 5 years or so. That's 250 new toxic intrusions into neighborhoods across Pennsylvania, Ohio, and West Virginia, on for as long as the plant is running. And this isn't even taking into account the pollution from the data center part of the project, as Griffin mentioned, which for this specific project is less clear at this point. And all of this is for what? What does Indiana County gain for this? What does America gain? The public hasn't asked for AI data centers, and the public does not want them. This is the same AI that is being shoehorned into every device that we have without our consent. This is the same AI that is in the headlines again and again in layoff announcements. In Indiana County, residents have stood up and are fighting back. A group called Concerned Residents for Western Pennsylvania, or CROW, formed last year to organize around the Homer City redevelopment project. Earlier this year, CROW organized a town hall discussion in the Indiana Theater to discuss the project. Hundreds of people packed the theater in this rural county of fewer than 100,000 people, with the crowd very concerned about the project. And, we're looking at, in an era of division, an era of hyperpartisanship in America, one thing that unites us is opposition to these giant data centers that pollute our air, drain our aquifers, create heat islands, fill our neighborhoods with noise, raise our electric bills, and empty our pockets to further enrich tech billionaires. We will fight back to protect our towns, our farms, and our neighborhoods from these monstrosities, And we will win. Thank you.
Thanks. That was Alex Baumstein, Executive Director of the Clean Air Council in Pennsylvania. Now from Texas, Kendra Seawright, organizer with the Panhandle First Group in Amarillo in West Texas. Go ahead, Kendra.
Hi, thank you, Tom. My name is Kendra. I'm an organizer at the Panhandle First Coalition. Our group formed as a nonpartisan effort to fight back against the Fermi America Data Center just being built right outside of Amarillo, where I live. The Donald J. Trump Advanced Energy and Intelligence Campus, or the Matador, is behind the meter hyperscale data center. It is expected to have 17 gigawatts of power generated on site for its 18 million square feet of data centers. That's enough power for New York City, while we have neighbors who rely on church donations to catch up on their electric bills. Despite asking questions of local and state level officials and developers over at Fermi and Google, we still have unanswered questions about water usage and water discharge, nuclear waste, safety protections for workers, and more related to the data center and its power plant. For the two separate sets of air permits Fermi has already applied for, with one granted, we are expecting a total of 141 gas-fired turbines. This would throw another 40 million tons of greenhouse gas and 10,000 tons of smog and soot per year in the air that we're already breathing in the Panhandle. We just can't help but wonder what's the point of winning an AI race if it costs the lives of the people you're supposed to protect. The air pollution from the 11 gigawatts of natural gas power planned for the Matador project alone is putting the health of Texans on a back burner to prioritize big tech's AI scheme. And with that, I'll pass it back to you, Tom.
Thanks very much. That was Kendra Seawright with Panhandle First in Amarillo, Texas. Now, our closer from West Virginia, Amy Margolies, Director of Tucker United. Go ahead, Amy.
Thanks, Tom. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Amy Margolies, Director of Tucker United. We're a nonpartisan grassroots coalition based in Tucker County, West Virginia. This report really confirms concerns we've been raising for over a year. First, it confirms that we're not alone, that our reality in small town West Virginia is part of a trend that's happening across this country. And second, small communities are facing big projects with even bigger localized impacts. We are one of those communities. We're moms, working families, residents, local officials, and we're challenging a massive off-grid gas power plant and a hyperscale AI data center complex between our small towns of Thomas and Davis. As a mom of two small children, I'm here because this massive facility would be near to our elementary school, near the field where I coach my son's soccer team. When it comes down to it, this is about our communities and our control over our future. These are big impacts on small communities. In Tucker County, our economy is built around the land, the water, outdoor recreation, tourism, and our quality of life. A project of this scale puts all of that at risk. It is private gain based on public drain on our land, air, and water. And we should not be the testing ground. Our children should not be that sacrifice. I think that an industry that calls itself the future should not require our communities to accept the pollution risks of the past. And second, we support responsible and strategic economic development. We have children that are growing up in this county and in this state. This is not it. Responsible development starts with transparency, with local consent, and enforceable protections. What's concerning here is the speed, scale, and secrecy that is happening. Americans across the country are fed up with secrets and redactions of billionaires. We want to know the truth of what is coming for us. Originally, this was an 800 megawatt gas plant, and a year later, this project has grown sixfold into a multi-gigawatt complex of over 5.2 gigawatts over 10,000 acres. That is a minor source bait and switch. Ducking under regulatory thresholds to avoid guardrails. These are guardrails that exist to protect the public. So, off the grid is not necessarily a perfect solution. Off the grid can be off the rails. It creates an exception to the rules. The rules are in place for a reason. It doesn't mean no impacts. It means bypassing not only the queue to the grid, but also skirting the very guardrails created to protect communities and to effectively manage our energy resources. State officials recently told this data center developer that they were not meeting the microgrid regulatory timelines, and the company's response was that they did not have to comply. So the state extended that timeline another 10 days. Why does the state care so little about our communities that they loosen the very rules that exist to protect us, to protect our clean air and water and our community well-being? Off the grid is a false solution, and it is off the rails if it doesn't contain protections for communities. Also, our concerns are specific. They are local and they are reasonable. We aren't asking complicated questions. We are asking basic questions. Where will the water come from? What is the height of the smokestacks? Who benefits? Who pays? And why are local residents being cut out of decisions about their own future? We want clean air and water. We want to protect our existing economy, and that is based on outdoor tourism. This project would forever change the rural character of our county into an industrial landscape. Unfortunately, here in West Virginia, our own representatives have sold us out. Communities are cut out and our voices are being silenced. There is a House Bill 2014 that blocked local control and seized 70% of data center tax revenue from our counties, and most of it are now being shifted for tax cuts for the wealthiest West Virginians. That means as small communities, we take on 100% of the costs and only get 30% of the benefit. Not to mention, working West Virginians are already struggling. We are footing the bill for this build out. In West Virginia, we are already paying to be Northern Virginia's extension cord. This is happening while this industry gets special treatment, like specific tax cuts and one-stop permitting. When you give special treatment to certain businesses and not others, that's not letting the market decide. It's tipping the scales. Working West Virginians and our local small businesses do not have that same luxury. This is about protecting people and the places we love. No projects of this scale should happen without local input. Our concerns are about the things residents want to preserve and protect: clean air, safe water, dark skies, public health, local businesses, and the quality of life that makes Tucker County home. Tucker United believes West Virginians deserve a meaningful say in projects of this size that could move forward, that could permanently affect our public health, our land, our water, and our lifestyle. For generations, West Virginia has powered America's cities. Today, we're being asked to power the digital future. The question is, whose digital future? One in five West Virginians lack access to reliable broadband. We don't want to be last in line for the very infrastructure we're being forced to power. The question is, it isn't whether West Virginia can do the job. We always have. The question is whether West Virginia will finally get a share in what we're building. And that's why Tucker United stood up, because the people who live here and our children will breathe the air and drink the water long after the developers are gone. We're the ones who should be deciding our own future, not billionaires in boardrooms hundreds of miles away. 250 years ago, this country was founded on one idea: that the people, not a distant power, get to decide what happens to their own land. That's not just history. That is our fight today. The freedom to decide is our future. That is not radical. That is the oldest American demand there is. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Amy Margolis, Director of Tucker United in West Virginia.